Welcome to season 4 of the Brave Writer podcast, A Brave Writer's Life in Brief. I'm Julie Bogart, your host. This season, we are releasing via audio our most popular YouTube broadcasts. We're so excited that you can now listen to these on audio while you're running, driving in the car, or folding laundry. We will also sprinkle throughout this season original content, interviews with people I think are compelling to listen to. If you get a chance, please help us out by leaving a review at iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you listen to Brave Writers podcast. We really appreciate it. It helps us get the word out, and it also gratifies all the people behind the scenes who work so hard to bring these to you for free. And now, let's get going with this episode. We're going to talk about learning to partner with your kids in writing and helping their writing lives blossom. One of the things that I know from working with parents all these years is that there is a reluctance to give your own efforts to your child's writing. Here's what I mean. When your kids are in school, teachers will tell you, do not help your child with homework. Make sure that all the work I see was done by your child. Now, truth be told, plenty of public school parents are helping their kids with homework. There isn't a child who's been assigned a diorama who's done it alone and gotten an A. You know, the good dioramas have parents gluing little figurines and puncturing holes at the top and hanging threads with, you know, starfish hanging from them in their seascape. Parents who are involved in their children's educations get better grades, and those children feel more successful. No matter how often a teacher tells you, please don't get involved. And in fact, for those kids who are left to be fledglings, you know, working on their own, trying to figure out how to do writing or a diorama or an oral report without help, they don't get as good of grades. And this has been studied scientifically. It is in the research data. This is not just me talking off the top of my head. Parental involvement in education is what produces the greatest results in children. We know that kids who are read to have better vocabularies. We know children who have parents who've been educated tend to do better in school. You know, if your parent has a PhD or a master's, those children automatically have a better learning experience than a parent who quit school at 15. And this is through no fault of anyone's. It's just the nature of reality. There is this dynamic experience when you are in relationship with a parent, and that parent provides a foundation for how far you can go. Yet, even though we think we know this is true with things like tying shoes, coaching soccer, helping a child with an oral report for school, we get very hands-off around writing. And the reason is this. In school, a teacher usually has somewhere between 20 and 30 children whose writing she has to evaluate. She's not partnering with the child. She is expecting that child to show their level of competence so she can evaluate the child and only the child. She worries that if the parent gets involved in that writing process, somehow she won't be evaluating the child. She'll be evaluating an adult showing up in the child's writing. Now, I get that. She doesn't have conversations one-on-one all day long with 20 or 30 kids. She isn't sitting next to the child while he's struggling, you know, with his pen to write at home. All she sees is the final result of effort. I want to share with you a story from my own childhood because I think it's illustrative of the failure of this system of requiring children to write without help. My mother is a freelance author. She has written 85 books. She's been in professional publishing her entire adult life. And she has taught writing to professionals for her whole adult life. So when I was coming up through the ranks as a child, my mom was very interested in my writing. She provided me with all kinds of tools. I have an All About Me book, and I wrote my very first story in cursive in that book. She bought me little journals. She jotted down things I said. My mom loved literature. We went to the library every single week. She read aloud to us, and I read to myself. This was the early rich language life. She took us to plays, to movies. She was very interested in us having a great literature and language experience. And as I got into school over the years, I was assigned writing projects. I remember distinctly in fourth grade being told that I needed to produce this report with no help. Now, I had this massive resource in my mother, but I took what the teacher said seriously, and I told my mother, you can't help me with this report. So I wrote a report on Queen Elizabeth. I had a red file folder. I decided to make it beautiful, so I used a blank sheet of white paper, no lines. I wrote it in very light pencil first. I went through and corrected all my mistakes, and then I traced over it in better pen so that it would be perfect. I used our World Book encyclopedias for my research, and I finished it without any help from my mother. I can't tell you how proud I was of this paper. I turned in my report with all the other fourth graders. Do you know what's coming? I got a C. I got a C on my independently produced report. You know what I saw in the stack of reports? Reports written by students who had help from their parents. There were typewritten reports. There were reports that were clearly handwritten perfectly and that had lots of detail. I just sat down with all the information I knew and I just wrote it out. I didn't know how to structure it. Didn't really even know how to paragraph yet. I was in fourth grade. And that C crushed me and my mom was not pleased. You know, I put in all this heart and effort. She saw me do the research. She saw me be painstaking in my handwriting. But I got a C because other kids had help and the teacher couldn't tell the difference. And my efforts were invisible to her. She didn't see me at home combing through the World Book and trying to identify which bits of information were important enough to include and which ones weren't important enough and needed to be excluded. But here's what you have at home that my fourth grade teacher didn't have. A front row seat to your children's development. You can tell what they're doing. You can see when you add a sentence or help them think of a vocabulary word. You know what was their effort and what was your combined efforts. Not only that, when you combine efforts, you are mentoring your children into the writing experience. I've shared before that none of us taught our kids by backing off and holding back language. When your child started speaking and says, you know, me want Nana, meaning I want a banana, you didn't say to yourself, I better not correct that or they'll be copying my speech and somehow that won't be their own speech. You usually pause and say, did you mean to say I want a banana? And then your child says, me want banana. And you're like, okay, she's getting there. You don't think to yourself, well, now she's copying my words. I wonder if those are really hers. No, you're mentoring her in speaking. You are showing her the pathway to refining her skills in speech. You're living it in front of her with joy and tenderness and kindness. With a little bit of, here's where you're headed. Not, well, you're not there yet. I can't answer you until you know how to say, I want a banana. Can you imagine? Can you imagine your four-year-old, your three-year-old says, me want banana, and you say, can't really give one to you until you get it right. C for effort. I'm sorry, bananas stay up on the high shelf. You don't get one. I mean, that would be crazy. But that's how we treat writing. Now, fortunately for me, my mother immediately saw the ridiculousness of this and how dashed I was with this C. I can still remember it was a great big letter C. No explanation for why I got a C on this paper that I worked so hard on. My mom just jumped right back into the ring with me. She contributed to my writing life in so many meaningful ways. When I was in seventh grade, we had to write one of those papers that was man against man or man against nature or man against self back in the 70s before we realized we should say person. And so I chose Person Against Self. I decided to write about getting lost in Mexico. Our family had just taken a vacation there. We took a train to Mexico and spent a week in Guaymas at a beautiful resort. And I had this thought, what would happen if a girl like me had gotten lost, somehow got on a bus and didn't get off with the family, or somehow stayed on the train after the family got off? I worried it would be a foreign language, a foreign country. How would this child find her way home? So I wrote this story in purple marker, by the way, on my lined paper. And my mom sat down with me and read it. And I'll never forget the way she engaged this paper. She says, "Ah, this is such a great idea. You have so many experiences you can include here. I see that you start this story right on the train. What if we lured the reader into where you were going by starting the story at home? What could you and your siblings be doing as you get ready to take this trip to Mexico?" And I thought, well, we could be packing. She says, "Yeah, well, what might you be doing before your parent tells you to go pack?" And we just started brainstorming, and we decided that we would be watching TV, eating popcorn, when my mom would say, "Hey, time to pack." And then we would have this little dialogue, and it would leave us wondering, where are they going? They're packing to go somewhere. I was riveted. My mom was showing me how to create suspense. She was helping me understand the function of dialogue to create interest. She was giving us what we call in acting stage business, something to do so that when I'm reading, I don't just read. My brother and sister and I packed our bags to go to Mexico. Understand? So she gave me this kind of like collaborative feedback all the way through this story, which, by the way, was like 11 to 15 pages of handwriting in purple ink. And when I turned that story in, my teacher liked it so much, she read it to the class. This was seventh grade. And she told me I had a firm grasp of creative writing. How about that for a difference? When I gave the full effort on my own, I felt like a failure. When my mom collaborated with me, I was a star student. And guess which one taught me more about writing? The effort all by myself, or when my mom gave me the keys to the kingdom, showed me the secrets to making my writing compelling so that an audience would like it so much, they wanted to read it to other people. Literally, this experience happened to me multiple times growing up. When I was a senior in high school, our advanced composition class, the teacher assigned us to write those college application essays. And he gave us a little bit of a rubric and what we were supposed to put in them. We were in California, so everybody was applying to the University of California. And I came home and I sat down with my mom and I wrote first just a draft of why I want to go to college. And I wrote all these things that weren't even true. Like, I wanted to go to college to become a lawyer because my dad was a lawyer. I want to go to college so that I'll get a fabulous education. You know, that really wasn't the main draw for me. I mean, I knew I wanted an education, but I wanted to go to football games. I wanted to live independently and become an actress. That was my chosen field at the time. So my mom read this essay and she says, "I don't feel like you're showing up on the page yet. I want them to get to know you, Julie. You're incredible. You've been acting all 4 years in high school. Isn't that what you want to do?" And I said, "Yeah, I guess, but I don't know how to start." She goes, "All right, here's what I want you to do." Now, this is before computers. So she put in a sheet of paper and cranked it up through the carriage. And she says, "Close your eyes and describe to me the vision of your life once college is over." So I sat back, I closed my eyes, and I still remember my opening line. I said, "Well, jogging through the wet sand, with my Irish setter at my heels, I return to my house where my television sitcom script is waiting for me. I make myself a cup of coffee and I go over this week's lines." Okay. So that was my aspiration back then. But you know what? That was so vivid. I could totally picture my life That was the life I wanted. I wanted to live on the beach. I wanted to study my script. I wanted an Irish setter. None of this came true, by the way. That is not what I ended up doing. I left theater. I went into history. I became a missionary. I became a totally different person in college. But that was the vision that was driving me to get to college. And my mom helped me crystallize and make that vision specific. And she didn't make me write it. She made me talk it. She sat there typing away. I was 17. Are you hearing me? We're so busy asking our children to be independent learners when we could be empowering them with this turbojet of our backlog of experience, helping our kids to become these powerful writers because we invest deeply in them. We provide them with resources, support, tools. And one of the ways that Brave Writer helps you is we bring in expert homeschoolers who are also published writers to help you learn how to do that. Not all of you are writers. You aren't my mother who had, you know, all these years of professional writing under her belt, who really knew what vision she was going for. You know, she knew how to bring it to life partly because it was her field. So what we've done in Brave Writer is we've assembled materials and online classes to help you learn how to do that, to help you become that effective writing coach and partner and ally to your kids. Could you start today? You could. You could start today. You can jot down the things that your kids say and read them back later. You could tell your child who is stymied and frustrated and doesn't know how to write, don't worry, we're going to do it together. Let me begin. I'm going to contribute the first couple of sentences. And then you take it from there. And then if you get stuck, I'll come back and contribute more. We're going to sit here at the table together till something starts showing up on the page. And I'm going to show you how I think about words and where they come from. And that might be hard for some of you, because some of you were schooled in this myth of independence that it's only yours if it's only you. What if we treated coaching soccer that way? Your child joins a team. The first week, the soccer coach explains the rules, shows everybody how to score a goal. And then after that, you just played games. And the coach stood on the sidelines and said, can't really tell you where you should be because then I wouldn't be sure that you were really the soccer player. You might be stealing from all my insight. And I really want to see how well you play. I mean, that just makes no logical sense. When your child's learning to tie a shoe, we don't say, well, I guess you'll just have to trip on your laces until you learn how, because if I do it, then that means you didn't really learn yet. Right? I mean, it makes no sense. We don't put our kids in a kitchen with a recipe and ask them to make all of the food without us helping crack the eggs or pulling the shells out when they mismanage the eggs. And yet we treat writing like it is this weird, independent, lonely only experience. And too often, the writing materials and manuals and classes out there behave like school. They say, well, here's the format. Try and get your words prepared in your brain and matching the format in one try. Oh, sure, you can go in and clean up a couple spelling errors, but really, we want you to like make that keyword outline. Make sure you know where you're going and what you're going to say before you start so that that first attempt is as close to perfect as possible. What? No one writes that way who gets paid. I'm going to say that again. No one who gets paid to write tries to get it right on the first try, as close to the format as possible. No one plans down to the word and the sentence and the idea and the support. You should see me. I'm writing this book right now, and I keep observing my own process. Oh my gosh, how much writing is going in the waste bin that you will never see. Sometimes I will literally write 10,000 words that are not going in this book, just to get them out, just to see what's in there, just to hash through a little bit. I literally hunt and peck for one single sentence and pull it out and I go, oh, this is the idea I'm trying to express. Okay, let's throw all that out. Now I'm going to start with this one sturdy sentence and try again. I also have all these files like Word docs that just have great paragraphs that don't have a home yet. You know, a one-off. I start riffing on an idea And I think, well, I want that in the book, but I can't figure out where it goes yet. I made a book proposal with, you know, you had to have a chapter outline and very detailed pieces underneath, which is hard to do before you've written the book. So what you're doing is you're making your best guess at organizing some of the ideas in your head. I've changed it around. I've moved things from the back to the front. I've changed the subheads. I've gotten rid of whole groups of ideas because I already explained them in the first chapter and didn't know it would come out so early. And that's with a publisher. That's after a proposal. So if I feel free to do that, why can't we let our kids do that? Why can't we help them do that? You know, they can take a stab at an outline if that helps them, but they need to be free to change it up, to move things around, to pay attention to the dynamics, not to just stay rigidly aligned with this formatted information before they've even had time to explore their own ideas and thoughts.
You're listening to the Brave Writer Podcast. I'm Julie Bogart. Thanks so much for listening along. Did you know that you can leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher or any place that you listen to this podcast? Reviews are the way that we get the word out to others, and they mean the world to me. So if you wouldn't mind reviewing this podcast, if you haven't done so yet, I'd really appreciate it. You can always click on a link from our blog to go there directly, or you can simply go there on the app itself. Thanks a lot. And now let's get back to the podcast.
There is something about a partner, too, that makes writing less lonely. And I'll tell you this. As an adult, most of the writing I've done has been self-published. I had a column for a year, more than a year, with University Press International, where I had to write something new every week. And that was published. And I worked in publishing. And I've written for magazines and all that kind of stuff and contributed to books. But everything that's full length, I've done on my own. So The Writer's Jungle, Help for High School, Gracious Space, those books, I've done those, you know, with minimal support. People who edit them and take a good look at them to make sure the typos aren't there. And then you all find the typos we missed. And, you know, that's how it goes with self-publishing. Part of the reason I was excited to work with a publisher was for collaboration, to have an editor, to have somebody say, you know, I think this is missing the mark. I think it'd be great if you toned it this direction or you left out this stuff. I don't think this enhances what you're trying to say. Collaboration in writing is a gift. Writing alone is lonely. You don't have meaningful feedback when it's just you. You're just writing for yourself, hoping other people eavesdropping like what you have to say. So get in there, be a partner, support your kids. Help them experience writing as a joint project, and you will start seeing growth. Now, if you feel like it's a really hard thing for you, you don't know how to support your kids, well, we have tons of classes. And I don't just mean to segue this into an ad, but you have to understand, this is the whole reason Brave Writer exists. My goal was to empower mothers and fathers, mostly moms. Back when I was surveying the landscape of writing programs and people were saying, Julie, you should write one, I remember sitting down and I started writing a chapter about paragraph writing. And I got about three paragraphs into this chapter and I was like, oh, this is so tedious. Nobody cares. You can Google the word paragraph and find out what a paragraph is. People speak in paragraphs. They read paragraphs. Telling a child what the structure of a paragraph is does not help them write. Saying you need a topic sentence with three supporting sentences followed by a clincher. In fact, the best paragraphs you read don't even follow that structure. They surprise you. They don't let you know what the topic is until you get to the end of the paragraph. They subvert your expectations. They don't necessarily give all the information that you need in one paragraph because writing is a seduction. It's surprising you into interest. You keep reading because you don't know what's coming, not because it's so perfectly organized that it tastes like a cardboard box. There are all kinds of processes that help bust your children loose from this keyword outline kind of approach to writing, this stiff, strict, follow the rules writing that doesn't really tap into the creative, imaginative, resourced well. You know, not all your kids want to write a journal entry. Some of them are stuffed with facts, you know, about World War II tanks or archery or Lord of the Rings. That gets to be written too. Doesn't have to be, ooh, how am I feeling about the autumn day? Parents like that topic. Children, not so much. They want to tell you all the stuff they know because they are learning so much so quickly. And they want to have some freedom to express it without being told how it has to be cramped into this organized structure before they've even enjoyed the fun of exploring it. It's not corrective. Nobody grows in writing if you correct them. They grow if you invite them to share and tell more. If you seem engaged and interested, that's what makes somebody want to grow as a writer. How do they engage their brains? How do they generate insight? What does it mean to have something to say in an essay? Not just something that you structure. You know, so many parents send me essays of their students. They'll say, is my child ready for this class or for this class? And then they send me a work sample or a writing sample. And here's what's really fascinating to me. Some of these kids, they have fluency of language, good punctuation. They even have nice writing. Like I can see the writing skill. But no one's taught them to cultivate insight yet. They're reporting, you know, at age 13 or 14. They're just reporting. They're saying, this is what happened in the book. And then this happened. And this, you know, Tolkien uses this style of, literary element over here. But it's just a report. They haven't yet learned how to engage that academic edge, the rhetorical imagination, insight generation. Writing isn't about getting it right. It's about power. It's about making an impact. It's about expanding understanding. We don't just want our children to organize a bunch of information they already know in an adequate sequence. I mean, that's just not good writing. I recommend all the time that when you're evaluating writing programs, if you see a sample of the writing and it's not interesting to you, do not teach that program. The sample paragraph should at least be interesting to you. You should be able to recognize a spark in that writing. Otherwise, what are we doing here? We want our kids and their writing voices to be preserved. We want quirkiness, insight, personality, facts that they know. That's what we're looking for. And we can support that in our kids by being their partners. But the reason I wanted to talk about this today is that I keep hearing from parents that they don't know what to do next to help their kids grow as writers. And the number one thing you can do is partner with them. And you can start that today.
That's it for today. I hope you found some ideas you can implement even this week. I'd love to hear from you. Follow me on Instagram at Julie Brave Writer, or you can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Brave Writer. In the meantime, live honestly, write bravely. I'm Julie Bogart from Brave Writer.